Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Your host, Christian, here. Really sucks, man. Really sucks. Jimmy Butler, torn ACL. After dealing with what happened earlier in the weekend, for all you who are also Niners fans, and you know, basically a lost season from the point that you lost Bosa, Warner, and a whole bunch of other stars due to injury. It's just that same sinking feeling that happens when you lose a star in Jimmy Butler. And you know, that's pretty much going to do it on this season. It's pretty much going to do it on any potential future Steph Curry championship window with the Warriors. I hate to be grim, but I mean, it pretty much, yeah, the writing's on the wall. It would take some sort of miracle and then some for this actually to become an open window again for a Steph Curry Warriors team. We're going to kind of explore some Hail Mary options. We're going to kind of explore what might be the most prudent way to do things going forward. I don't want to even say that we have options because it's really just a lose-lose scenario for the Warriors no matter what you do. I would hate to be Mike Dunleavy at this point, but we'll float some ideas because that's all we can do in a time like this, guys. When all hope is lost, you can just think about potential fixes and potential next moves. And that's, as a guy, we try to just find ways to fix things. So I'll give you guys, they're not even silver linings, but I'll give you what I think might be the best way forward. But just going back to the injury, obviously, you know, when it happened, you're not quite sure if it's an ACL. I mean, it looked pretty 99% sure, but you hold out hope that somehow the tibia didn't cave in completely. Not the case. I'm glad that the Warriors at least announced pretty quickly that, hey, it is a torn ACL. Let's move on with our lives. Oh, man. It just, especially with the Niners in the house, man, this fan base just cannot catch a break. Between the Niners last several years, between Steph Curry's hamstring last year, between Melton's ACL last year, which is also much more minor. But you lose Jimmy Butler when this team was getting going, man. I mean, they, 12-4 the last 16, won 6 of last 7 at home. You got Melton really kind of almost breaking out. You got Pajemski starting to play very well, played great last night and is playing as well over the last stretch of a handful of games as we've seen him. Offense humming, scoring over the last 4 games, 129 points per game, including over 20 plus threes in each of those games. Felt like you figured something out with this second unit of when Steph's off the floor with Jimmy, Pods, Melton, Horford, and then, you know, throw whoever else you want in there. Will Richard. Oh, and you're getting some momentum and you're hitting that good part of your schedule. And you got some hope that maybe a move for a Trey Murphy, a Michael Porter Jr., whoever, insert name, might be enough to get you into contention and give you a puncher's chance at a championship run. Well, that puncher's chance is now gone with Jimmy Butler going. This season, I mean, there's really, let's talk about the options, right? So there are the Hail Mary options where you're trading Jimmy just mainly for his contract. Obviously, Kuminga's probably going to in that scenario. And between that $75-ish million combined, you're trying to get a combination of players that are decent players on bad contracts. You're talking about, you're like, Zach LaVine's, Sabonis's, DeMar DeRozan, who we'll talk about in just a bit, your Anthony Davis's, your Zion Williamson's, your Jeremy Grant's of the world, and you're just trying to absorb a big contract just to have some sort of firepower, like Zach LaVine, right? He doesn't really help you, but he's just kind of an empty 20-point scorer who might at least fill that second scorer hole, which, rewind to a year ago before we got Jimmy Butler, you know, that we already knew that that was the biggest issue, was that Wiggins wasn't good enough as a second scorer and you were just dying for some sort of a secondary Robin to Steph's Batman to just carry you in the non-Steph minutes. Well, they finally found that. They finally found an athletic forward, someone who can play the 3 and the 4, someone that can play make, play defense, play on ball defense, off ball defense, and just be a leader for your team. They got everything in Jimmy. He got that in Jimmy. Get all of that in Jimmy. Everything but 3-point shooting, and he actually shot really well. He's just not quite the floor spacer. And it's gone now, and you have a massive hole to fill, as if you weren't already trying to fill the role of a better wing, more athletic wing to begin with. Now you got to fill a three and a four spot with more athleticism. You got two huge holes, and there really just aren't options to fill both and give yourself a fair chance at a title run. So the Hail Mary options. You're packaging Jimmy and Jonathan Kuminga and $75 million. You're going to have to attach picks probably, just because who's going to want Kuminga's value? Not much. Who's going to want an injured Jimmy Butler? It's just an expiring contract, if anything. Not much value there. So you're going to have to attach a bunch of picks, which you already know the Warriors don't really want to do. But let's just say they're willing to attach a few first round picks. Now you go get a combination of Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. Ugh, I mean, what does that really do for you? Gives you a little firepower, shakes things up, but there's a reason the Kings are terrible, and those are your two leading players. And is that going to all of a sudden change the landscape for Golden State and give you a chance this year? Probably not. Can you go get Anthony Davis for $54 million? He's going to miss at least another month and a half, if not more. He doesn't fill a lot of the holes on the wing for you, but he just, at least he's a star in theory when he's healthy. I don't think that makes much sense, to be honest. You could go chase the Michael Porter Jr. and Nick Claxton option, which I would be okay with. That's about like 64, 65 million right there between those two. You're probably gonna have to attach three first round picks, if not more, to make that happen. Like, is that really where you're just going to put your whole future in and just try to go all in with that? I don't see a Curry, MPJ, Dre, Claxton core being good enough. It's a playoff team, but it's not really a contender. I don't know if it's even better than this version of the Warriors as is with a healthy Jimmy Butler, and you're mortgaging your whole future that way. I mean, that's just, again, a Hail Mary if you're just really saying, hey, we just want Steph to have a chance. If Steph says, hey, you got to do something or trade me, we're going to talk about that. There's the Trey Murphy route. Hey, do you go try to get Trey Murphy and Zion, which the salaries are kind of in that same range? Zion and Murphy for Jimmy, Jonathan Kuminga, and a lot of first round picks. Kind of the same thing, right? Does it really put you over the top? It's better than that Nets package we just talked about, but I don't know. Draymond, Zion on that front court, you have no shooting there. In theory, I'd be interested to see it. That might actually be the best option if you say, hey, screw it, we're going to try to salvage what we can and still compete this year. We don't want to lose a year of our potential 2-year window with Steph still here. And we're just gonna move Jimmy. We're gonna move Kuminga, and I guess that's probably the best move if you're gonna go Hail Mary. But I don't really like that. Just the premise of doing this. And then there's also the check-in on Giannis Antetokounmpo option, where hey, now you have some outgoing salary that you can send Jimmy, Kuminga, and even more picks for Giannis. I just don't see that happening, but you just never know. Maybe Giannis turns around tomorrow and says, I demand a trade to the Warriors. And if that happens, then we'll have that conversation. So those are the Hail Mary options to try to say we're not going to lose any of this remaining Steph window. I think we know that the Warriors are not going to be that aggressive from what we've been hearing, unless it's just been pure posturing in terms of Kuminga deals. It just doesn't sound like the Warriors are interested in attaching a bunch of picks and a bunch of first round picks to try to upgrade for a fringe all-star type player. They don't want to sacrifice the future post Steph. And that's just kind of that's what it seems to be. Seems to be the case. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they've just been kind of planning a move and trying to play co as play possum with it and posture up. But now that you lost Jimmy, does it make any sense to push your chips all in with basically down a guy. You know, even if you went in and just say, hey, we're going to give those three first round picks for Trey Murphy, like, what does that even give you now that you don't have Jimmy Butler? Again, you're probably at best slightly better version of your team than you are right now. Probably even worse because Jimmy Butler's a stud. So again, it just makes even less sense to push the chips all in at this point with Jimmy down. You could wait out Jimmy and say, okay, if 37-year-old Jimmy Butler coming off an ACL injury by next December, next January or so, you hold out hope that you can continue improving as a team. Maybe you do make a trade for a player right now. Maybe you do the Trey Murphy trade. Maybe you do the Michael Porter Jr. trade. Give yourself a little hope for this year, but in reality, you're just waiting on Jimmy Butler to return midseason next year, and that's the very, very brief window. You're going all in for 2027 and hoping that Jimmy comes back healthy and then you make a run next year. That's kind of playing the middle there. If you don't want to trade Jimmy, I mean, that's how you're going to get anything of value out of Jimmy at this point, is you just wait for him to come back healthy and hope you build a good enough team around him. Still doesn't seem like the Warriors are willing to trade picks in that situation to upgrade. The other option, and the name that always comes to mind, no matter what happens with the Warriors, Jonathan Kuminga's name is going to come up. So where does it stand with Kuminga? I think we all know that it's beyond repair, it seems, with Kuminga and Kerr, or Kuminga and the Warriors, whatever you want to call it. I mean, the fact that Butler got hurt last night, every single player on the Warriors played, including LJ Cryer and Leonis. Everybody played but Kuminga. They are not taking him off the bench. Maybe they're just protecting. I think they're just protecting his trade value, but maybe it's just, hey, he's played his last minutes as a Warrior. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It does not matter if Jimmy Butler's out, Kuminga's gone, and we're trading him no matter what. I get it. Probably what the case is. Does trading Kuminga for a marginal piece right now, like trading him for just a ninth or tenth guy off the bench, like maybe a backup center, a random wing, like does that even do anything for you at this point? No, you're not competing anyways. I mean, that an extra role player does nothing for you at this point. Can you trade? Let's see here. Where do I want to go with this? Can you keep Kuminga? Commit to playing him. It's not going to happen, but can you keep Kuminga? Commit to playing him in that Jimmy role for the rest of the season? And hope again that he develops, that he becomes something of value, and you just take the shot that, hey, maybe you can figure it out and win some games. Maybe he plays himself into some sort of value the second half of the season, since the season's lost anyways. Hey, let's play Kuminga into some value, trade him in the offseason, and maybe we get something a little bit more heading into next year, and then you're playing for next year. It doesn't seem like that's the option, or that's what they would have done at the beginning of this year, right? They would be playing Kuminga and trying to give him some value up until now. So it doesn't seem like that would change now that Jimmy's out. But I think that's kind of what I would do. I would just kind of sit tight and just play Kuminga and just see what you got there. Or the other option is, do you trade Kuminga to one of the two teams that it sounds like are the most interested in him, that Shams said earlier, the Kings or the Mavericks? Not a lot on the Mavericks that makes sense. So we're looking at the Kings. Does it now make sense to trade Kuminga for DeMar DeRozan straight up? I think they're both about 20. DeRozan's like 25 mil, Kuminga 22, obviously, and you can throw in whatever you have to make it match. Does that trade make sense now? Now, DeRozan, I don't love DeRozan. He's a ball stopper. He operates out of ISO, but I guess, Jimmy Butler wasn't a perfect fit either. He also does not shoot the three like Jimmy, although he actually, I think he attempts two threes a game and shoots, whatever, 33% or whatever, which is worse than Jimmy, but he'll at least shoot a couple of them. Whereas Jimmy, I think, is even less than two attempts per game. I might be wrong with that. DeRozan, not quite the playmaker passer as Butler, where he'll give you maybe four assists. It's a little smaller, a little less athletic than Jimmy. I don't know that he's an even worse fit than when we first thought Jimmy came here. But we might be surprised. Jimmy is just a true baller, and he figured out how to make it work, and it really did. Can you build your second team around a DeRozan isolation offense? I mean, I've watched a decent amount of DeRozan, but not enough to know, what system and what spots and just kind of where he's got to get to. I know he works out of that mid-range a bunch. But again, I maybe that's just, getting 70 cents on the dollar. You're trading instead of Jimmy Butler and Kuminga, I guess you're getting DeRozan, which keeps you in the running this year, gives you probably gets you to the playoffs, doesn't get you past the first or second round of the playoffs. But DeRozan's contract goes through next year. So yeah, you have a $25 million contract, expiring contract, which might have some value. You can still use that kind of like the Kuminga contract this year, or trade that with some picks and go get, a fringe all-star player making about that much. It is a decent vehicle if you go get him. So maybe you can make it work. I think the Kings would be fine and happy to do that deal. Maybe you can even squeeze a little something else out of them for him in that deal. Maybe it becomes a bigger deal like we talked about, where you're attaching Jimmy and you're getting LaVine or even Sabonis or someone else from another team in there. But I guess coming full circle, right? So my top options in each situation would be you trade Kuminga for DeRozan. Option, we'll call it A. Not this is in no order, but these are just your options. Option A. Option B, you hold on to Kuminga, you commit to playing him, and you hope he plays himself into some more value, and you're basically playing for next year. And you're waiting on Jimmy. Or option C, you are trading Jimmy along with Kuminga, and you're just trying to get the best package of probably two players that, like we threw out the names. If you can get a Zion and a Trey Murphy and give up all your picks, sure. Let's just be aggressive and give Steph a chance. MPJ and Claxton, sure. If you can do it for just maybe two to three first round picks, then you can explore it. Option D, option doomsday, is you just go young and you say, it's all over. It's not happening. We're not going to win again. Which is a realistic take that you could say this window's over. Do you look at trading Steph? Ugh, God, it's disgusting coming out of my mouth. As someone who's a big Warriors fan, I might be an even bigger Steph Curry fan. And to see him potentially go to another contender and compete and maybe even win a fifth ring while the Warriors get three first round picks or more for him and just hit the hard reset, tank, and start the rebuilding process. It's something I never thought I'd say, but it might not be the worst option in light of the Jimmy Butler injury. Again, I'm not going to advocate for trading Steph, but if Steph Curry wants out, who am I to say? And I will root hard for him. I will root for the Warriors to tank and get the best picks possible and rebuild that way and start that process a little bit faster. But that's not the conversation I want to have right now. We're going to just keep on going forward. But that's how much this Jimmy Butler injury sucks. Everything's on the table, from Hail Mary to pulling the plug and getting walloped 41-6 and putting an end to your window, your season, your Steph Curry era. I'm throwing a Niners metaphor in there. All right. It all sucks, guys. Sorry. Hate to break it to you. That's why I wear black today. Black hat. It's funeral. Niners funeral. Warriors funeral. Sucks. Well, 2 weeks until the trade deadline. We'll see what they do. It'll be telling. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.